First of all, I just want to say I'm just so happy to see all of you. You have no idea just how good it is to see you today. And you all look great, by the way, with only one or two exceptions. But those are mostly in the front row. And okay, there are no exceptions. You all look absolutely great. Let's turn on our Bibles to Luke chapter 8, verse 4. And we are starting a three-part series this year entitled Mature. Mature is the theme for 2019. Can everyone say mature?
Mature.
How can you say it in a more mature voice, like a James Earl Jones kind of mature? That is the sense of, as we've been thinking and praying about it over the last few months of 2018, what does God want to do at One Tribe in 2019? He wants you, can you turn to the person next to you and say you? He wants you and he wants us collectively to mature. And it's just fun to say it that way, isn't it?
So that at least
And the picture, if you like, is of a church that's turning two in a couple of months' time. And we've grown over the last 2 years, but one of the things that we'll be explaining over the next couple of weeks is that maturity has less to do with time than you might think. And it has less to do with numerical growth or size than you might think. The picture, if you like, is of a young boy who is 11 or 12 years old and still talks like this. And then puberty hits, doesn't it? And their voice breaks. And they are this high, but then you see them 6 months later and they're like this high. And, yeah, I haven't got much left in me, by the way. And if you looked at a teenager coming from far away, he might look at them and because of their height, he might think, that looks like a mature, full-grown man coming my way. But as they get closer, you start to realize that they still have acne. And yes, they've grown, but it's like their ears grew first, but still waiting for the rest of their face to catch up. And so there's this growth, but there isn't yet the sense of full-grown maturity. And individually and corporately, we're sensing God calling us to be a mature people in 2019. So maybe you've got New Year's resolutions. I don't agree. I've got a couple of things I'm planning on working on. But whatever you sense in terms of 2019, as a church, we're saying, hey, together, let's mature into what God has called us to be. And we're going to look at one of Jesus' parables, Jesus' stories, that talks a little bit about this theme. Turning your Bibles, if you haven't, to Luke chapter 8, verse 4. If you don't have your Bibles, most of the key verses are up on the screen this morning. Luke chapter 8, verse 4. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop. 100 times more than was so. When he said this, Jesus called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And as he says that, I picture the group of disciples, his 12 disciples, standing there and they're listening, parable of the sower, and they're like that, maybe even taking notes if they had iPhones and things like that. And Jesus says, he tells the story, and then he says, "Right, so he who has ears to hear, let him hear." And I can see all 12 of them going. And then Peter turns to John and he says, "Do you have any idea what he was talking about?" John turns to him and says, "Nope. No idea whatsoever." So his disciples, the Bible says, asked him, "That story you just told, what does it mean?" And we need God's help at the beginning of this year. We need God to speak to us about what his word means for you and I this morning. Jesus, we come to you, the great storyteller. Thank you for writing the story of our lives. Thank you for drawing us into your story, what you are doing in this great city of Nairobi, what you're doing in this great continent of Africa. And God, our prayer is that you would help us understand the meaning of this parable, told 2,000 years ago in the Middle East. Would you show us what it means for followers of you in Nairobi in 2019? Mothers, fathers, teachers, accountants, business people, students. God, would you speak to us from your word? Would you give us ears to hear what you will say? And everyone say, Amen. Even before we get into Jesus' explanation of what this parable means, one thing is clear. What's clear is that by the end of this parable, what excites Jesus is when the seed has been sown into good soil, and that soil produces fruit. And so you can say that what is clear from this parable is that Jesus wants you to be fruitful. That's true all the time, and that is true in 2019. And that's encouraging, because chances are you want to be fruitful too. Chances are if you made New Year's resolutions, you might have made a resolution about, I want to be a better dad or a better husband, I want to be a better mother, a better wife, I want to be better in the workplace, I want to be a better steward of my body, I want to get into shape, I want to lose weight, I want to get a promotion, I want to do this, do that. Chances are that if you boil all of that down, you can summarize it as added fruit. You want to be fruitful. You want to be fruitful in your family. You want to be fruitful in your relationships. You want to be fruitful in the workplace. You want to be fruitful in all that you do. And the good news of the Bible is that, you know what? Jesus wants you to be fruitful. It's all over the Bible, and on one of the slides, a slide to you, it talks about in Genesis chapter 1, the first chapter of the Bible, what did God say to mankind? He said, "Hey team, listen, I want you to increase and be fruitful." Slide team, if you can get that slide, it will really help us. I gave you as much kind of ear warning as I could. Genesis chapter, there we go, God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful." Genesis chapter 1. Jesus, the Word, became flesh. And in the book of John, the Bible says, next slide, God cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Why? Because he wants you to be fruitful. There might be some things in you that you need to cut off of yourself to be fruitful. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. God wants you to be fruitful. Jesus didn't just say it once, he's talking about fruitfulness in this chapter. Next slide. He says that, you know what? This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. Fruitful in family, fruitful in the workplace, together as a church, fruitful in 2019, mature and fruitful. Next slide. Jesus says to his disciples, hey team, listen, you didn't choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Friends, this is such good news at the beginning of 2019, because you know, the Bible says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus said that I have come that you may have life, and life in all of its abundance. I appointed you to bear fruit in every area of your lives. One small sidebar here. Fruitfulness doesn't always mean successfulness. Is that a word, successfulness? Maybe. We'll use it for today. Fruitfulness does not necessarily equal successfulness. For example, Jesus was the most fruitful human being who ever lived. But he died a criminal's death on a cross at the age of 33. Is that successful? Depends on how you define success. But if you define fruitfulness biblically, that's very, very fruitful. God wants you to be fruitful in 2019. But in this parable of the sower, we identify some barriers to fruitfulness and barriers to maturity. Check it out. His disciples asked him, what does this parable mean? Jesus said to them, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to others, I speak in parables, so that those seeing they may not see, those hearing they may not understand. Then he breaks it down. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. Friends, this isn't even one of our application points in this morning's sermon, but you get this one for free. If you want to bear fruit, and if you want to be fruitful in 2019, the word of God is absolutely key. Listen to me. At One Tribe, we are pro-grace and anti-legalism, if you haven't picked it up yet. Grace brings life. Legalism brings death. We are anti-death and pro-life. And one of the first traps of 2019 is to say, I want to be fruitful. Therefore, to be fruitful, I will implement more laws in my life to make myself fruitful. But let's just call them resolutions, because that's what everyone else calls them. Friends, the story of the Bible is that rules and regulations and statutes and laws do not bring life. What brings life is the Word of God. Planted in the soil of your heart, that brings life. Is your plan for fruitfulness in 2019 a few more rules? Or is it a fertile word of God planted in your heart? I can tell you, I'm putting my money. Because the seed of the word of God, the Bible describes it as an imperishable seed. It's a seed that doesn't get moldy, it doesn't waste away. It's the seed of the word of God. When it's planted in our lives, it is designed, its DNA is to flourish in our lives, to bud and produce fruitfulness everywhere that it goes. And when we lean to the Word of God on mornings like this, when we lean to the Word of God week by week, month by month, through the course of this year, the Word of God brings fruitfulness into our hearts and into our lives like nothing else can. The seed is the Word of God. Those along the path, remember the seed that falls on the path? Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Farmers sow seed. Some seed, the parable tells us, lands on a path. That seed is trampled on, and the birds of the air eat it up. What's happening there? Jesus says that it's us who hear the word, and the devil comes and takes away the word from our hearts so that we won't believe and be saved. You might be here this morning and you're not yet a follower of Jesus. And if you're not yet a follower of Jesus, I want to encourage you, please, please don't. When you hear Jesus' words from the Bible, when you hear him inviting you, saying to you, come and follow me. And this morning he is saying to you, come, follow me. Don't trample his words under your feet. Don't harden your heart to him. Because Jesus says the only way to be saved is to believe in him. Have you believed in Jesus yet? If not, forget all this talk about a new year. You don't need a new year, you need a new life, you need a new you. You can find that in Jesus today. Second seed. Those in the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy. When they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, it all looks good. But at the time of testing, they fall away. Here's what we're going to focus on. The seed that fell amongst thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures. And they do not mature. Can anyone say the word mature? What are the three things that stop God's word in our lives from maturing? And so this is, it has an application whether you're a follower of Jesus or not, but it's actually pointed especially those of us who've received God's word in our lives and we've believed and trusted in Jesus. And the Bible says in that the word of God in our hearts bears fruit in every area of our lives in 2019. But there are three things that come into our hearts, that come into the soil of our lives, that choke out the fruitfulness God wants for us. What are those three things? Number one, life's worries. Number two, riches and pleasures. So number two, riches, and number three, pleasures. Tyndale Bible commentary said that these people, this third group of soil, we fill our lives with so many good things that there is no room for spiritual fruit. We got God's word in our lives, but then there's other stuff that comes into our lives as well. I won't entertain you with my farming exploits over the years, but one thing I picked up is this. A weed is just a plant in the wrong place. Did you know that? So a rose plant in the middle of a wheat field is actually a weed. But in a rose garden, the rose is okay. It's any wheat that's in there, that's a weed. And when these plants come, they're in the wrong place, they compete with the crop for the resources of the soil, the water and the nutrients. And because of that, because of these competing priorities, the fruitfulness of God's word in our lives is choked out. What are these three weeds? What do we do about them? We're going to spend our remaining time together, the next 15 or so minutes. We're going to look very quickly at seven steps to fruitfulness in 2019. and they all related to these three Bs: life's worries, riches, and life's pleasures. And by the way, at least one of these applies to you. You might be more prone to get worried, and sometimes we're worried because we're not rich. The worries of this life might be choking what God wants to do in 2019. Some of you are rich, and the riches of this life might be choking out of you what God wants to do in your life in 2019. Think about his pleasures. Maybe you're one of those people who just loves to have a good time. Pleasures of life can choke out of you what God wants to do in 2019. So what do we do? What's our strategy? How are we going to get up our weed killer for fruitfulness in 2019? Step number one to fruitfulness in 2019, the first four are under the topic of worries. I think it's a big thing for us. Don't worry about tomorrow. Step one to fruitfulness, you want to be fruitful? Yes. You want God to bless me 2019? Yes. Step number one, if you want to be the fruitful soil, if you want to get rid of those weeds, step number one, don't worry about tomorrow. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. How many of you are worrying about tomorrow? Next year? How are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? Kids got to go to school. Kids got to go to high school. Kids got to go to university. Kids got to get married. Stop looking after mom and dad. Corey Ten Boom, she lived through the Holocaust. She said that tomorrow, worry doesn't empty tomorrow of its trouble. It only empties today of its strength. Love this. Mark Twain said, I am an old man and have known a great many troubles, but most of them never happened. See, that's one of the traps about tomorrow. If you're worrying about tomorrow, it's going to happen tomorrow, and after you get to tomorrow, and it's not as bad as you thought, or actually doesn't happen. And Jesus says, hey, you know, tomorrow's got enough trouble, so that's good news in itself, isn't it? Kind of. So don't worry about tomorrow. Step two to fruitfulness in 2019. Step one, don't worry about tomorrow. Step two, get some perspective. If you want to get on top of this weed of worry, just make a decision. Hey, listen, a lot of bridges in my life I'm going to cross if and when we come to them. I'm not going to worry about tomorrow. Step two is, as I walk into 2019, if I want to be free of worry, I've got to get some perspective. Tash and I have loved this for years. It's just so, so helpful. A guy called Robert Elliott said, rule number one is, don't sweat the small stuff. Rule number two, it's all small stuff. So some stuff happens. If he'd said to us January 2018, hey, listen, about halfway through the year, your family's going to be involved in a significant motor vehicle accident. The car's going to be ripped off, and you're going to go from two cars to one car. Could have worried about that. But another perspective is, the day after the accident, if you say, do you know what, if our biggest problem is that our car's been ripped off, and we go from two cars to one car, if that is our biggest problem, then we could have a lot more bigger problems. But actually, friends, this is the kind of truth that we carry you through some significant stuff. We, Tashina and I, before living in Nairobi, lived in Nairobi 3 years now. Before that, we spent pretty much all of our lives in Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe, for the last 20 years or so, has had possibly the most rapidly and spectacularly declining economy in the whole of history. people would often say to us, wow, how do you survive? How do you live in Zimbabwe? And there are certain truths of scripture that hold you. And one of those is the 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17, the Apostle Paul. A lot of you know, he went through a lot of tough stuff. The Apostle Paul, who went through floggings and beatings and shipwreckings and attempted assassinations and all sorts. The Apostle Paul, the Bible says, he said, hey team, Christ followers in Nairobi, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. You might get sick in 2019. You might have work trouble in 2019. You may have relational challenges in 2019. But Paul says, whatever you're going to go through, compared to the eternal glory of seeing Jesus face to face and hearing him say, well done, good and faithful servant, and living and reigning with him in the new heavens and new earth for all eternity. Compared to that, whatever you're going to go through is light and momentary. Friends, when we become a people who have a God-sized perspective, we are well on the way to fruitfulness in 2019. Step 3 to fruitfulness in 2019. It's kind of linked to the first, but it's different. We're going to pick our battles. 480 BC, Spartan army outnumbered by the Persian troops of evil King Xerxes. Sparta outnumbered, managed to take on the Persians and win. How did they do that? They fought them at a narrow mountain pass, so that only so many Persians could come through at a time, and they could take them out as they came through. If they had fought them in an open country, they would very quickly have been overwhelmed. But by picking their battles and saying, hey, listen, there's a lot that we could worry about, I'm going to focus on this for now, but the soldier in front of you, they were able to be victorious. Trust God. You take troubles one by one. You'll find that the strength he gives you is sufficient. Step number 4 to fruitfulness in 2019. Trust Jesus. 1 Peter 5 verse 7 says this, cast all your anxiety on Jesus because he cares for you. Oswald Chambers said, worry is an indication that we think God cannot look after us. He can. So you cast your anxiety on him, and he'll give you. It's like as an eldership team, we may worry, oh well, please know what to leave the meeting this Sunday morning. But what we can do is, either as individuals or a team, we can cast our anxieties on Kogi and say, Kogi, we're all worried about this. But listen, Kogi, can you lead the meeting this morning? And if Kogi says, yes, I will lead the meeting this morning. If I walk away thinking, oh, we've got no one to lead the meeting this morning, I'm not trusting Kogi. That's the problem. Well, Jesus says, hey, listen, back one slide. Cast some of your anxiety on me. Is that what it says? It says cast all of your anxiety on your spouse. Is that what it says? That's not a prophetic word, I'm just... Jesus says, hey team, as we walk into 2019 together, cast all your anxiety on me. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You can learn from me, for I'm humble in heart. Cast all your anxiety on me. How are you responding to that? Amen, says Tawanda. The the rest of us might be tempted to say, okay, Jesus, I'm going to trust you with Saul's getting saved in Nairobi, I'll trust you with that. And world peace, I'll trust you with that. But school fees for my children, I'm going to keep that one if that's okay, because, you know, like, we just... all my anxiety onto Jesus. Say, Jesus, you got this? Jesus says, I got this. Say, I trust you, Jesus. As we walk away, Jesus says to you and I, I care about you. Trust Jesus. Number five. Love this. Step five to fruitfulness in 2019 is be thankful. As we step into 2019, we said last meeting, Sunday meeting of last year, we want One Tribe to be the most thankful people in the city of Nairobi. Be thankful. Where we could go, where we have this Luke 8 verse 14, the seed that fell among thorns, that's for those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries. And we spoke about how to weed whack life's worries in our life. But weed number two is riches. And in Mark chapter 4 verse 19, it's another one of the slide team. It's the same parable that Mark's telling the story, not Luke. And Mark says that Jesus said the worries of this life, and not just riches, but the deceitfulness of wealth. The deceitfulness of wealth. You want to be free from 2019? God wants you to be free from 2019. Problem number one is worrying each other about fruitfulness. Problem number two is riches. The deceitfulness of wealth. How many of you want to be poor? Blessed are the poor in heart, because they shall be blessed. How many of you want to be rich? You guys are just, you're not working with me. So you don't want to be poor, you don't want to be rich. Proverbs says, give me neither poverty nor wealth. Poverty because I may steal the son in your name. Wealth, I see what you did there. That's good. That's good. But you see, money. Money has a deceitfulness to it. It tells us two lies. The first lie that money tells you, the first deception that riches brings your way, is that you are not rich. That's the first lie. Did you know that? You're not rich enough. How many of you are rich? You guys are not working with me. It's okay. It's the first Sunday of the year. That's all right. Founders are studying this a couple of weeks ago. You know the story of the rich young ruler? Guy comes to Jesus and says, I've talked to a rich young ruler, and someone said this, he wrote this prayer, he said, Dear Lord, I've been rereading the record of the rich young ruler and his obviously wrong choice. Because Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you've got to let go of everything else, just go give it all away, and this guy couldn't do that. And he says, I've been rereading that story and his obviously wrong choice, but it has set me thinking. No matter how much wealth he had, he could not ride in a car, have any surgery, turn on a light, buy penicillin, hear an electric guitar, watch TV, wash dishes in running water, type a letter, mow a lawn, fly in an aeroplane, sleep on an inner spring mattress, or talk on the phone. If he was rich, then dear Lord, what am I? Someone else said this. If you have food in the refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof overhead, and a place to sleep, you are richer than 75% of this world. If you have money in the bank, in your wallet, and spare change in a dish somewhere, you are among the top 8% of the world's wealthy. Step number one, as we rewrap the deceitfulness of riches. Step number one is to be thankful, because you might be rich. Step number six, two more, then we're going to be done for the Sunday. Step number six to fruitfulness in 2019. Now, let us take it with some worship. I think that's a great way of finishing this morning. Step six to fruitfulness in 2019 is trust Jesus. I love him. I think the repetition is important. You see, the first lie, the first deception of riches is that you don't have any. And some of you still don't believe me. You're still like, I don't care what you say, where those words came from, I am not rich. It's part of the deceptive power of riches. The second lie of riches is money tells you, hey, you can trust me. Have you heard money say that to you before? So just get a little bit more of me and everything will be alright. It's the second deception of riches. The second lie, which is talking about you can trust money. That's why step six to rewracking riches and the deceitfulness of riches is to trust Jesus. Luke 12, verse 15, Jesus said, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. I think we're just going to repeat that out loud. We'll speak this truth over ourselves today. I'm kind of free to speak out this Bible truth, starting with the word A. Count of three. One, two, three.
Man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions.
I'm going to read it out loud again, but this time I'm going to say, my life doesn't consist in the abundance of my possessions. Count of three. One, two, three.
My life does not consist in the abundance of my possessions.
First Timothy 6, verse 17. Paul says to his disciple Timothy, Timothy, command those who are rich in this present world. That's the person next to you saying he's talking to you, not to me. Seriously, you got that? You're not doing anything to you, don't they? Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. A.W. Tozer gives the illustration of he says, you know, if you go out and look at a mountain, which I was doing just a couple of days ago, Thursday morning, I was looking down into the Rift Valley at Mount Longonot, looking majestic. By the way, Mount Longonot was just saying to me, you've got to come climb. And what I think we're going to do is, man, do you remember that we had the burger night a few weeks ago? I think the next men's gathering might be a climb up Mount Longonot, to repent of our burger nights and the calories we put on there. And we'll carpool and convoy out there and climb up there together and we will get some young macho man on the top or something like that and climb back down. It's just going to be a man to man. A.W. Tozer says, if you look at a mountain, and if you get two small coins in your hands, if you want to obliterate the view of the mountain, what you're going to do is just put these two small coins up in front of your eyes. You can't see the mountain, in fact, you can't see anything else but the coins. And A.W. Tozer's comment is this, he says, it doesn't take a lot of money to get between us and God. It just takes a little bit of money in the wrong place. And before we know, we no longer trust in God and His mountains of righteousness and greatness and goodness. We're trusting in money. Step number six to biblical faithfulness. Weed whacking, deceptiveness of wealth is to trust Jesus, not money. You ready for number seven? Luke 8 verse 14. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on the way, they're choked by life's worries. We've got four things that are going to help us with life's worries. Number two, riches. We've got two things. Two steps to overcome riches. And the third thing is it talks about pleasures. And because of these things, worries, riches, and pleasures, no matter what else we do in 2019, we can find that we're struggling to mature. Mark 4 verse 19. Again, Mark telling the story, the same story Luke was telling, it falls in a bit more detail. Mark says this, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfaithful. Step number seven to biblical fruitfulness in 2019 is to enjoy Jesus. You want to be fruitful and mature in 2019? Don't worry about tomorrow. Get some perspective. Pick your battles. Trust Jesus. Be thankful in all circumstances. Trust Jesus, not money. And step number seven is enjoy Jesus. Matthew 13 verse 44 says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, went and sold all he had and bought that field. Can you picture it? Man, in a field, maybe he's a treasure hunter with a map, maybe he's just walking along and he stumbles across a stone, but by some means in this field, he finds treasure. What a smart guy, he covers it up again. And then he goes, the Bible says, and sells all that he has. Can you imagine that? Here's my house, you can have my house. Here's my car, you can have my car. Here's my iPhone, you can have my iPhone. It must be so sad. Your car's gone, your iPhone's gone. The Bible says, no, 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 in his joy, he went and gave it all away. Why? Because he had found a greater treasure. What can show people's lives in 2019, number one, is life's worries, number two, the deceitfulness of riches, number three, is just pleasure, desires for other things. What do you do about desires for other things? The Christians of generations back, they spoke about the only way to overcome one affliction is with the expulsive power of a new affliction. And friends, you can chase all kinds of things. You can chase success. A lot of us want success. You can chase money. A lot of us want money. You can chase acceptance. A lot of us want acceptance. Friends, you know you've seen the treasure in the field. When you say, you know what, I don't think I need that acceptance so much anymore. I don't think I need that money so much anymore. I don't think I need that success so much anymore. People say, why? Well, are you depressed? You say, no. I do this in my joy because I found a greater treasure than anything this world has to offer. And his name is Jesus. Our friends, if you want to be fruitful in your life, see Jesus, savor Jesus, love Jesus, enjoy Jesus. Sell everything else that you have and lay hold of the greatest treasure within it. Last verse. But the seed of good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. And we want to be those who produce a crop. Shall we stand together? Bam, maybe you can get us up in a couple of minutes next to end with a song of your choice. That is so wonderful this morning, by the way. Thank you. Thank you so, so much. Oh, we're a team, we'll each find more bad what you need to say. Friends, we've only just begun to scratch the tip of the iceberg when it comes to what it means to mature. We want to see God's word maturing in our hearts and bearing fruit. And I said earlier that God wants you to be fruitful. That's what's at stake this year. That's what's at stake in this message. Is how much fruit do you bear in your marriage, in your parenting, in your workplace, in your relationships, in your walk with God, as a church together, how much fruit are we going to bear? But friends, there's even more at stake. This isn't just a personal problem. But this is a continental problem. See, look across Africa, what's happened is not only denying that the seed of the word of God has gone out across the continent, but somehow, but despite the word of God going out and churches being planted, friends, there's a problem in Africa. Because something is choking the life out of God's word on this continent. Despite the churches and the professing Christians, HIV rates are too high. Poverty is too high. Corruption is too high. You say this is supposed to be a largely Christianized continent. What is going on? Friends, I'll tell you what is going on. The fruitfulness is being choked out in God's people by life's worries, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desire to other things. And one of the things about this year is we mature. So maturity has a lot to do about taking responsibility for what's going on around you. It's about taking responsibility for our workplaces, taking responsibility for our city. One of our first steps of maturing is straight after this vision series, 6:13, 20 January, vision. 27 January. We're so excited. We're going to be talking about God at work. And we're going to be talking about what it means for us as Christians to not just be good at singing songs on a Sunday, but to carry God and the seed of his word into our workplaces so that our workplaces look different, so that our workplaces be different. And I'm saying this now because I want to give you two or three of these notices. The challenge to you is we want you to bring people from your workplaces for just that one Sunday. We're going to have a short service. It's going to be like 20 minutes worship and a half hour talk on God at work. God's design for women and for men. Yes. From 11 till 12, we're going to have a mini Olympics with different workplaces competing against each other. And there's a prize for the workplace that comes with the most people in the workplace that has a prize lined up. And we're competing. So what I'm doing with that is going to be a great team building opportunity. It's going to be a great way to share your spiritual life with other people in your workplace. But more than that, we make the statement that, hey, listen, what happens on a Sunday should make a difference in Monday morning. Why? Because Jesus wants us to be fruitful in every area of life. Jesus wants us to be fruitful across this great continent of our life. I'm going to pray for you, we're going to sing. God, we pray that you give us a noble and pure heart. We pray that you make us those who bear fruit in every area of our lives in 2019. God, help us to be fruitful in family. Help us to be fruitful in our workplaces. God, we pray for your anointing to be on Sunday, January 27th. God, we pray that you begin to impact, infiltrate our workplaces like never before. God, we pray that this will be a year of maturing and growing as a church. And God, as we look at the challenges of this great continent of Africa, we pray that one tribe, together, we would be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. We pray this in Jesus' name. Let's